Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast.
Good morning. This is Tracy Hales Bass with Right on Four Corners on KSJE 90.9 FM in Farmington, New Mexico. Today I'm talking with Dr. Barbara Koltuska-Haskin about her book, How My Brain Works, A Guide to Understanding It Better and Keeping It Healthy. Good morning, Dr. Barbara.
Good morning, Tracy.
I really enjoyed your book, How My Brain Works.
Thank you very much for reading my book and having me. Thank you very much.
Yes, you're welcome. It was fascinating, and you've won a lot of awards with this book.
Yes. It was kind of unexpected because this is my first book. So I just didn't expect anything, but I got two international awards.
Yes.
From International Book Award. And I was a finalist there, and then just recently I got a silver medal for Reader's Favorite International Book Award. Yeah, it makes me feel good about it. And I'm getting a very good, beautiful reviews.
Yes.
From, you know, that people read that and enjoy it, and it was helpful. So that's actually what is great, because that's why, you know, I wrote this book, to give people information.
Before we go further, let's tell our listeners what the book's really about.
The purpose of this book, which I written for the general population, so this is written for you, my readers, mm-hmm. and my listeners, is in very simple terms, you know, just information. So it's for general population. It's to explain how neuropsychological evaluation can help people understand how their brain is working or not working in some areas in order for them to reach their full potential and or help them heal from if they have any cognitive problems or they are recovering from any brain trauma. So the purpose was that if you have a cognitive problem, if you think that memory is failing, have problems attention, concentration, difficulty completing tasks, then there is not an end of the world.
Right.
You can get help. The brain can be evaluated by a neuropsychologist that is contracted with your insurance, and we can figure out what is the levels of your functioning. So, for instance, if your memory is still average, above average, or below average, and how much below average, and what we can do about it. So I didn't want people to have a sleepless night thinking that what is going to happen to me, especially if they have a history of Alzheimer's in a family or immediate family, or they saw a friend that was functioning really well a year ago, and now this person is in an institution, which is very scary. Alzheimer's mm-hmm. is scary.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they don't have to have a sleepless night, because cognitive memory, as I'm putting in that book, memory complaints are not necessarily a memory problem.
Right.
You think you may have memory problems, but actually, you may have attention concentration problems, you may have problems executive function, you may have problems with anxiety, depression. All that stuff does affect how your brain works, because if you are very anxious, when anxiety goes up, performance goes down. So a little bit of anxiety is good in life, but too much, if it's so much anxiety that you cannot sleep, that interferes with your sleep, because you think, okay, I'm going to end up like my mother or my brother, I'm going to end up like my friend. Now, that is, you know, not good for your brain.
Right.
Not good for you, because you need to sleep. Sleep is important for brain.
Right.
So you know, instead of having sleepless nights and dwelling on the problems, just get an evaluation. Neuropsychologists are a rare breed. We are there mm-hmm. in a community. And you just, you know, get appointment and we'll take care of you. We'll draw the like a road map for your brain. Where the brain is working well and where is a detour.
I thought it was very interesting how you explained how a neuropsychologist works with psychologists and medical doctors.
Neuropsychologists are specialists in brain functioning.
Mm-hmm.
So what we will be doing, we'll be assessing your brain function, your cognitive problems, and also assessing how your emotional problems. So, for instance, if the depression is very severe, it will affect how your brain works. So we can start with addressing emotional problems that are affecting brain functioning. And then I am not a huge fan of starting people on medication first, because medication do not talk. They won't teach you how to cope.
Right.
So unless there is severe depression or severe mood problems that people cannot cooperate because they, on the intake appointment, they cry most of the time or they try to argue with me. So I know that this is not going to work very well. So in that situation, I just say, well, let's stabilize the patient. But in other cases, I always refer them for therapy because, as I said, medication can help you with mood, and if they are needed, they are needed. But they are not. They do not talk. Pills do not talk. Pills don't teach you how to cope.
Right.
And any kind of problems you have, you need to learn how to cope. So that's why therapy is very important.
Your book also has a second half or second part that goes into a lot of really practical aspects like food.
Yes, because... So the first reason I wrote this book is to give people information, but we are available. If you have a problem, don't worry, come to us. Also because a lot of time, I had many cases in my 30 years of experience that people would come to, that find out from friends or from my previous patients that this service is survival, and they would come and I would explain for them what we will be doing, and they would start crying, saying, I didn't know you exist. I didn't know the services are available. I needed to see you much earlier. I needed to see you many years ago. I would be much better. And this is true because probably many years before we would be able to figure out how to help them.
Right.
Because when it's a problem, there is a solution. So sometimes people say, some people say, oh, I do not want to know. So I say, yes, you do need to know how your brain works mm-hmm. because what you don't know is going to hurt you, not what you know.
Right.
If you know where's the problems, we can find a solution. So one was just let people know, yes, that we do exist. And also medical professionals. I mean, in Albuquerque, I've been for 30 years, so most of the doctors know about the services because I was kind of educated them and they found out about it. But in general, you know, other states, not all the physicians know that these services are available or therapies. So that was one purpose. The other purpose was to give people some tangible things to help with brain functions, to assure, it's difficult to, I wouldn't say assure, to let them some information what actually works, what actually helps brain work to the best their capacity to the end of our life. Because for everybody, for you, for me, for all the listeners and readers, is that the goal is that we want to be able to function and take care of ourselves to the rest of our life.
Right.
So, yes, to the end of, to the last day of our life. We don't want to rely on anybody. We don't want to end up in an institution. Mm-hmm. So we want to be functional. So I did extensive research. I was writing this book for several years, doing extensive research, what actually works. So there is no passive, this is no, you know, guarantee in life. Some people can do everything right and still get sick, but at least we know what factors are associated with the better brain functioning in their life. So nutrition is really, really important. I just got an article from scientific magazine that it said about nutrition and prevention of Alzheimer's. Well, I wrote this book several years ago. I put everything, so I guess it's good that the research are confirming it now that nutrition is important.
So I
truly believe that food is our medicine. Food is our medicine, because what we put in our body, if we put good things, that the brain, the body and brain will work better. If we poison it with things that we're not supposed to eat, then once in a while, you can have things that if you like something, really, if it's not good for you, once in a while it's okay, because we only have one life. So I teach patients like 80-20. Try 80% of the time, try to eat good, and, once in a while you can have something that is not that great. If you like sweets, you can have some sweets or whatever, because we have one life. Life is difficult enough. Yeah, we don't need to kind of torture ourselves. So it's very important to eat healthy, possibly organic food, but just have a mostly green and vegetable diet instead of the other diet. So we have a lot of research that Mediterranean diet is the best for the body.
Mm-hmm.
And what is best for the body is best for the brain.
Right,
because
that makes
brain
sense.
Doesn't work in isolation.
Right.
So the healthier our body is, the better the brain will be functioning. Nutrition is very important, and I'm putting in the book some, I believe in prebiotics and probiotics. I'm putting this into the book. How to do prebiotics is very simple.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody can do this in the house. And also, I encourage my patients to cook for themselves, because, yes, you can't lose weight and can't be healthy if you constantly eat frozen food or pickups. So I always talk to my patients about nutrition, because that's important, and encourage them to cook for themselves. And I mean, this is not really a rocket science to cook for themselves. If they don't have time, just get a crock pot and get the frozen vegetables, hopefully organic, because they are already washed and cut.
Mm-hmm.
You just get them from the bag to the crock pot, a piece of chicken, some, spices, and let it, cook for several hours in the evening. You have a healthy brain, so healthy food, and
right.
You will have a healthy brain, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And try to eat meat on a bone, because that the research says it's better. So nutrition is extremely important. And once in a while, it's okay to have something that it's not great. But the research is right now that the soda is not good for brain.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have to have a soda, have it as least as possible. The other thing that I am emphasizing, and we already have a research, is that people need to exercise. People need to move.
Right.
Because actually body is meant to move.
Right.
So we need to, mainly this is aerobic exercise, but weight training is also good in a later of life. But walking is extremely important, because this is aerobic exercise, and it's also balance exercise. So 30 minutes walking every day, or 40 minutes walking three times a week, is associated with, there was some research, which I'm actually citing in my book, that it allow hippocampus to grow.
Mm-hmm.
So hippocampus is that part in the brain that is responsible for shorter memory. So there is a way to improve the functioning, just getting up from the couch.
Right.
so people frequently ask me what is the best exercise for me, and I say that one that you are doing.
Right.
So any kind of exercise will be better than sitting all day long or watching TV. You just have to be a little bit motivated, and if you feel you are not motivated, then figure out if you have some problems with depression, anxiety. Start with therapy. Therapy is covered. Counseling in therapy is covered by all insurance right now because of COVID and a lot of mental health issue.
Yes.
Then somebody said, why I don't have a motivation? And try to figure out with the therapist if the therapist thinks that you may need to get, and counseling may need to get on medication, then they will tell you that. They say, well, I think you need to. And primary care can prescribe antidepressant, but I said I will try with therapy. So exercising is very important. Any type of exercise. I also put in a book, because that's what I think, gardening is a very good way to exercise, because
right.
you have to constantly move.
Yep.
you constantly move, and, you know, you are in a nature, so you are in the fresh air. So it's good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Do some. Yeah, people need to do this kind of exercise and they enjoy. Because if doctor says you have to do this or that and you don't like doing this, you won't be doing it and won't have any benefits from that.
Right.
So if you like to go on a treadmill and watch your favorite show, it's fine. If you like me, like to walk, because treadmill is boring for me,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, I like to be in a nature. I like to walk and do mindfulness walk. So, but if you like to bike, bike. If you like stationary bike, do whatever you like and you enjoy. Every exercise will give you benefit. It's moving. Everything will be giving you benefit. So the other thing what I'm trying to teach people is be mindful. Do meditation. Start
right.
your day with meditation. I'm a strong believer in that, because we have already research that says that meditation can be as effective or sometimes more effective than medication for anxiety and ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the same with depression. The most important is to just find time to sit down and breathe.
Right.
Because meditation is not about clearing up your mind, because you can't clear your mind until you are dead or enlightened. Because when you sit down and start breathing, you know, you will start thinking about stuff.
Right.
The thoughts will be coming, because like this French philosopher René Descartes said many years ago, I mean, it was 18th century, he said, I think, therefore I am.
Right.
So we are a thinking creature, so this will be coming. So it's okay. You just, when you realize you're doing that, bring it back to breathing and learn how to breathe with your abdomen. And try to start with, it's 5 minutes, 3 minutes, just sitting and breathing. Find time for yourself. Find time for your life, because it's very important. The other is practicing gratitude. You can't be, so that's our research. It starts with Christian, books and also Buddhists, and the same. All they say that you cannot be happy if you are not grateful, if you're not grateful what you have.
Right.
And it's very important to realize that we are very fortunate here in this country, most of the people, because we have, most of people have a place to stay,
mm-hmm.
and they have enough food. So when we get up, it's good to be thankful that we have a place to stay, that we have our own bed, and that we are going to have, that we woke up in our own bed, and that we are going to have breakfast, because a lot of people in the world does not have that luxury. So appreciating what you have, because people always want to think, oh, if I get this, I will be happy. If I get that, I will be happy. No. Happiness is, you know, it's inside you. It's not related to things.
Right.
You know, but it's difficult to say happiness is different for other people. So what I'm teaching people is just my patients, you just try to be peaceful with yourself. Where you are, what are you doing? Try to be peaceful with that. If you are not, figure out what you need to do in therapy if you cannot do this yourself. The other important, very important thing is to get enough sleep. So very important, because we know research that right now that during the sleep, the brain is cleaning up, I would say, cleaning up all this debris and everything that is not good there. So getting enough sleep, so they say it's about 6 to 8 hours, but once in a while, everybody has a sleepless night, and that's normal.
Mm-hmm.
But if this is a problem, first of all, if this is a problem for the patient, so I look for two things. If this is anxiety, because insomnia is very frequently related to anxiety, so we need to work on anxiety. And I put in my book, actually, before sleep meditation, key meditation, mm-hmm. because we already have a research that sleeping pills and pills that are for anxiety are can be related to early dementia, because if you're using something for a long time to suppress your brain activity, what's going to happen in order to sleep? So
right.
It's very important to try to do this naturally and figure out what you can do if you cannot sleep because of an anxiety. Then we will. Anxiety is actually best treated in therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And in meditation. So there is a way to deal with that. The other thing, if I see that people may have a sleep apnea, it looks like that, then, you know, I refer them for a sleep study, because they may have a sleep apnea and they may also have sleep breathing disorder.
Right.
So that interferes with sleep. So that are basic, and I'm also talking a lot about herbs.
mm-hmm.
Because I am, I believe in herbs. I believe in natural way of dealing with our alignment. Also, I encourage my patients and readers to grow their own herbs, because most herbs are weeds. Most of them are weeds, because that's what their potency comes from.
Because mm-hmm.
they can survive in any soil, and any conditions, that's what their potency comes from. And obviously, weeds and herbs are free.
Right.
You know, because they grow all around us.
Yes.
So, it has, yes, I put in this book to harvest them from the area that is not contaminated by traffic or your animals. And, yes, and harvest them, they are free. I have a place in my garden where I actually allow weeds, eatable weeds, mm-hmm. to grow. And, you know, I let them grow there, and I harvest them. So they are really, really good, and I have a lot of, I put a lot of time in my book to that, because you can use them in salads, you can use them in soups, you can use them in put to your stews.
Mm-hmm.
They are very, very good in everywhere. One that I want to actually mention here, because it's important,
mm-hmm.
it's lemon balm.
No.
Because it's used in Europe for years and years and years as an anti-anxiety and sleep.
Mm.
Yes, for anti-anxiety and sleep. It's used in a herb form, like it's dry out and then used for a tea, or you can take solutions of that, and it actually smells absolutely gorgeous, lemon mm-hmm. balm smell. So what I'm teaching my patients is just have a one leaf and tear it in between your fingers and just smell, because it smells so good. It just, once you just smell it,
right.
It immediately makes you calm. It's beautiful, and it is a perennial. If you put it in your garden or keep it in your in a pot on your in your home or mm-hmm. on your balcony, it grows really well here. and it will multiply. So it's a free benefit, and it really helps with anxiety. That's what I actually wanted to put in a book, that if you have a problem, there is a way to deal with that. Don't get anxious. Don't get desperate. Brain problems are not the end of your world.
Right.
You can get help, and if we cannot treat them, we can manage them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to have a quality of life. We can manage most of them. And the other thing is to give people some tangible information, what you can do to keep your brain functioning to the end of your life. As I said, it's not, there's no guarantee in life, but if we do something, you know, when we finish this evaluation, and I spent a lot of time on an exit session talking about the results and what can be done about it. So when people are figuring out, okay, I have a little problem here, but I'm really good in here, mm-hmm. and I can, yes. So this is very liberating.
Right.
It's very liberating for them because they know, okay, I have a little issues here, so knowing how your brain works is actually very powerful.
Right, I think so too.
Because, yes, the other thing is that a lot of people really don't know their level of functioning, and they are getting really surprised because they come to me and said, oh, I can't remember my friends' names. Okay, so we figure out it's like verbal memory, because we do not have one memory. We have many different forms of memories, and I check all of them. So would say that you have so your verbal memory is average right now, which is okay. So just keep what you have, but your visual memory is superior. And people are very, very surprised. Oh, I never saw about it. Yes, for your age is high average or superior. So it's kind of, you know, as I said, a positive surprise.
Right,
for
right.
A lot of my patients, that they have part of the brains that are working really well for them. So basically, that's what I wanted to convey in this book. I am also putting, as I said, some my favorite ideas and my mind practices for improving and maintaining brain health, like I said, different kinds of meditations that I practice and I teach my patients, and they say they work. Yeah, so nothing works if you only do it once.
Right, right.
You have to practice. Everything comes with practice.
Yes.
So be patient.
Right.
You have difficulty. Yes, I'm also putting in the book that there is a, you know, this movie, Eat, Pray, and Love.
Yes.
You know, when she's learning how to meditate, mm-hmm. the first time is a torture for her, and then after that, you know, she's able to meditate really well. So this is just, everything requires practice and your commitment.
Right.
And try to find enjoyment. Try to find something that you really like to do.
It makes so much sense.
But okay, so thank you very much, Tracy, for having me.
Oh, well, thank you for writing the book. And I want to mention your website, drkoltuska.com.
Yes, so it's www.drkoltuska, one word, drkoltuska, KOLTSSOM. USKA.com.
Right. And there's even more information there and beautiful pictures.
Yeah, this is How My Brain Works, A Guide to Understanding It Better and Keeping It Healthy. It's on Amazon. If you just put the title or my name, it's come out. Okay, thank you very much, Tracy, for having me. It was nice to be able to talk about something that I'm really passionate about.
And that was Dr. Barbara Kotuska-Huskin, talking about her very informative book, How My Brain Works, A Guide to Understanding It Better and Keeping It Healthy. This is Tracy Hales-Vass with Right on Four Corners on KSJE, the cultural and information beacon of the Four Corners in Farmington, New Mexico.
Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.